So let me tell you about hour number three. Let me tell you about me. I'm here. This show after the show. Very unusual. Very atypical. Normally I walk off on the smack off every single summer, but not this year. And I'm glad I didn't, because reaction's been great today. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. All right, has been a great day. Coming up next segment, a defensive tackle with the Minnesota Vikings, Dalvin Tomlinson. Coming up at 11:40, UFC President Dana White. Because you got UFC 276 coming up this week. So those two interviews, if they both come through back-to-back, that will take up the rest of the program, meaning you need to get through right now. Last chance to react to the day itself. 1-800-636-8686 or hit me up on social media at Jim Rome. At Matt Mikla tweets, please never take another day off after the day of. You need to run this after party from this day forth. Hashtag smack off. Hashtag still cracking up. Maybe. I mean, selfishly, you know why I might want to walk off on something like that. I'm not looking for any credit, but generally, I work straight through from the start of the year. Yeah, I know. I bring it. Bring it. Go ahead and at me. You're a warrior, Rome. You're a legend, blah, blah, blah. Fact of the matter is I normally work straight through without a day off or any time off from the start of the year, because you know I backload all my vacation. So it's kind of fun to walk off after the smack off. But I have to admit, it's a hell of a lot of fun being here today after the smack off. So I might have to rethink that. No Cal Vic is in. Again, I said he showed up for the second year in a row. Big. He writes, do you listen to Stairway every day as a way to punish and remind yourself of the time you passed up a once-in-a-lifetime chance to hang out with Bob Plant so you could do some laundry? Because you should. I know, Vic, fair. I'll own that. A lot of times I do work out to punish myself because I went into the pantry or I did something stupid. No, I don't listen to Stairway to punish myself. I work out to punish myself. I listen to Stairway when I'm gassed and I need 7 minutes to get through the end of the workout or part of the workout. No, but you're right, though. I should listen to that as punishment. Benny in Wisco writes, you're a big who guy? I'm a big poo guy. Thanks, Jim. Love, Najee. You see, Benny, that's why you came in 10th. Because of crap like that. Did you pull that take out of your hamper? Najee, Benny. Trader Brent tweets, was that the king of all Freudian slips? Did that chowd just say that it takes a, quote, small member? Hashtag smack off. I think that he did. I think it was a slip.
Getting to the smack off mountain requires grit, tenacity, and a short member. A short memory, sorry. And I tripped on.
Yes, he did. Dear Jim, Brad had the funniest call. I afraid he had the best call, but you said it. Caleb had the showmanship and the execution. Awesome smack off. Brett and Bugahaw. War I afraid he proving that old guys don't have to suck. Looking at you, Silk and Gino.
Come on.
Yeah, it was too bad they didn't call. Gino, I think I can say this absolutely, would have made it better. I'm not saying that he didn't have a good excuse. I am saying that Gino had never been as active as he was in the run-up. Like, he was ready. He was ready to rock. And then something happened. 1-800-636-8686. Let's see here. Let's go to the calls. Patrick in San Jose wants to react. Patrick, how are you?
Hey, Rome, what a fantastic and successful smack off 28, man. I got to say, all you guys make this thing so much better, and it's just an honor to even listen to it. Love it so much. I got to say a couple things here. I was nervous to call in, but then it was after Martin James's call, and I said, man, these guys are so good. Then that bag from New York called in, and I was like, all right, I my confidence rose a little bit, as apparently Alvin did this morning, according to James's reference earlier. But what I wanted to say mostly was congratulations to Caleb. You were fantastic, my friend. Well-deserved. Iafredi, articulate, intelligent. What more can you ask for? But I do have to say something, buddy. You got to quit being so bitter. I mean, we know you don't like the long ball. We know that you don't like the low averages. We know you don't like the long passing yards and not the ground and pound game. We also understand that you don't like the three-point shot and the flopping. Hey, I get it, man. But there's something to be said here. Evolve or become extinct. I don't got much more for you, Rome. I did like Jeff from Southfield. I thought he had a good one, hoping he would make the top 10. But with that said, I'm going to bow out. I'm going to say war all the clones out there, war people being happy, and war shiny baby, because that guy freaking rocks. And that's how you self-gloss at the end of a call. Now ring me, Alvy.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Bro, did you just gloss yourself shiny baby? Anyway, Patrick, not bad. Like, I know you didn't have a lot of confidence when you got into it, but you were getting more and more confident. I love that you said that bag in New York gave me confidence. I didn't think that I could call after Mark and James, but that bag in New York gave me confidence. Enough confidence to try to self-gloss. And did he say rack me or ring me up? What did he say at the very end of that? Like, if he said ring me up, then he knows he self-glossed and had to get run. Not bad, Patrick. I appreciate it. You know what I appreciate most of all? And this is not something that's thrown around. Believe me, let me tell you something. I'm going to look right in the camera and say this and spit this right into the mic. If it sucked, you would let me know. I know this. Even my most diehard clone is not going to be like, hey, Jimmy, it really wasn't that bad. No one's picking me up. We're only getting praise if the smack off again worked and we executed. And again, a lot of it's out of our control. Like I said to the team, we went to Javier's afterwards, which was an absolute blast. Absolute blast. And when we held one up, and some of you were kind of thinking to yourselves, hey, Rome, nice of you to have a little Chardonnay after the big event. Yo, that was a double blast of 42. That was not Chardonnay. I'm not a white wine guy. You should know that by now. Nothing against white wine drinkers. I'm just not a wine guy. When I ordered my 42, I said to the bartender, I'll have a shot of 42. In fact, make that two, please. So what he did was he poured two, one each in these like champagne glasses. I said, my brother, they're both for me. And he dumped them both into that one glass. So as I held up that glass, not Chardonnay, but 42, 1942, I said, guys, great job. Really well done. Extremely well executed. I want to say about the first hour, it was not our best hour, but this is one of the few times that it's actually out of our control. If on any other day we have a crappy first hour, it's on us. We created the content. It's on us. That's the one day where it's kind of out of our control. However, the event was great. Top to bottom, it was great. And the thing that I have most pride in is that 28 years in, it's still great. And people are calling up and saying it's great. And most of all, if it wasn't, I know you wouldn't say it. You would say it sucks. It's washed. You're washed. It's tired. It's played. And that's not what I'm hearing because that's not what it was. It was really good. And I'm really proud of the day. And I'm proud of the people that made it so great. NoCal Troy Esquire says, give Shiny Baby a golden ticket. I'll do no such thing. I will not give him a golden ticket, but I'll tell you what I will do. I will welcome him to a very exclusive club.
Levi the Trash Man.
Dice Man.
Loney Carter in Spokane.
The Axe.
Bighorn Bowling Ball.
Jay Dizzle.
Manny Cheeseburger over here.
Chocolate is Van City.
Lone Prophet.
The Grump.
The Grouch.
Mole Doggy and NorCal.
The Dougler.
Zookeeper.
Roaster. Garbage Man, Brad.
The Cracker Jack.
G-Money. Sexy Rexy from New Mexico.
The Red Dog.
Horse Monkey. Tree Frog.
G-Money.
V-Man. SD. Bow Down.
V-Man. Cotton Woman.
His Silly Rabbit.
Barracuda.
The Muscle Shark.
Denver John.
The Horse Whisperer.
Main Man here.
The Bread Man.
Tony the Bartender.
Tombo.
Smokehouse.
Cabo yeah. Ed.
I'm a desert dog. They call me T-Rush.
Rockin' Rodney.
Hey, it's Mad Mac from 219 in Indiana.
War Shiny Baby. And that's how you self-gloss at the end of a call. Now ring me, Alvy.
Is it me or have we picked up like 15 self-glossers since the last time we played that? Shiny Baby is in. Not the smack-off, but the self-glossing club. I wonder about some of these guys. Like, how's my dude Rocking Rodney doing these days? Brother, weren't you like an awesome DJ on KROQ back in the day? Rocking Rodney Binghamheimer? Way back in the day. That dude's famous. He used to break a lot of bands. Anyway, you cannot self-gloss. That guy knows it. See what else I got here. Bill Deamer is in. Rome, you nailed the top three. Caleb had me rolling with Romelski and the blimp in the box. Iafredi has not lost a bit and was a very close second. Vic was classic Vic. That's true. That's all true. Jimmers, so disappointed in Paul's dog. Bad to the bone. No, bad to the show. Go sniff some butt and get back under the porch until next year. Regards, Cody the Ragdoll Cat, Ed Nesse. I thought the dog started off well enough and had high expectations, but there was just too much of the dog. Too much of the dog shtick. You know, I'm a fan of the dog. I think that we all aged 7 years listening to his call. He goes bad to the bone, more like bad to the show. I'm telling you, it goes to show the big stage affects different people in different ways. Lefty and KC, James in Portland impressed me with his first call. Hashtag smack off. Surprised me big time. Like I said, that was strong. And then Stucknut wants in. Stucknut writes, congrats to Chalk for not quitting after the hashtag smack off. Hey, Big Head, we all know why you showed up Friday. For free Javier's, you mooch.
Hashtag smack off.
It's not why he showed up. In fact, Big Head flew in for the event, flew out after the event, after he mooched, got home, didn't stay home, and then flew to South Dakota for a wedding. The Big Head did all that.
Winthrop.
I had a double wedding that I attended on Saturday. Actually, you know what we did? We didn't go to either wedding, but we went to both receptions. If you can believe that. All right, when we come back, some interviews. At least they are scheduled as such. Dalvin Tomlinson of the Vikings is next. Dana White at 11:40 Pacific. Dell Technologies believes that there is an innovator in all of us. That's why we provide you with the tools and the expertise to do amazing things. Innovative businesses see every day as an opportunity to create something new. Dell Technologies advisors are here with tools and expertise to help you do amazing things because Dell Technologies believes there is an innovator in all of us. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Find tech that suits you by calling a Dell Technologies advisor. Do it at 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-DELL.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Let me duck in the ATP right quick. It's the Ask the Pros brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Zach Matlock asks, at what point in your career in radio did you decide to have, quote, clones? Was it something you had planned from the start, or was it an aha moment? You're kidding, right? Dude, did you just ask me at what point did I decide to have clones? That was kind of like what I always said about that one person who used to go to our Christmas party back in the day. And one night at the Christmas party, she was going around telling everybody, I want to get into adult films. I want to get into adult films. To which back then our joke was, you don't get into the adult film industry, you end up in it. I didn't want to get clones. I ended up with clones. You kidding me with that? At what point did I decide that I wanted to have clones? Never. I didn't decide to have clones. I ended up with clones. Come on, man.
That's right.
All right, anyway. Now I'm stuck with them. That's the problem. As promised, we're joined right now by a defensive tackle with the Minnesota Vikings coming off a season where he had 39 tackles. He had 2.5 sacks. He had a fumble recovery last year. He was a national champion at Alabama. He was a 3-time Georgia State champion wrestler. He was the Giants 2020 Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee. He is hosting Dalvin Tomlinson's youth football camp in McDonough, Georgia. That is on July 9th. Dalvin Tomlinson is my guest. Dalvin, good to have you back. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. So from our conversations in the past and from watching you over the years, I know you're a guy who's generally going to have some fun. You're going to bring good energy wherever you are. I spoke to your new head coach, Kevin O'Connell, during the draft. I loved his energy. How would you describe the mood and the vibe around that team these days?
I would have to say, like you said, energetic is probably the biggest thing I would use. Just the positive vibes Coach KO brings to the building and everything. And then just seeing everybody super excited to come to work every day, happy, just excited for the most part, just super energetic.
It's a good place to work. All right, so Ed Donatell came in as the D coordinator, which means you're going to switch to a 3-4 defense. You're also reunited with defensive line coach Chris Rumpf, who overlapped with you at Alabama. So I'm curious, what's it been like working with both guys, and what are your early thoughts on the defense overall?
It's been great working with both guys, you know, with 3-4 defense, it feels kind of like I'm back at Alabama and Tuscaloosa a little bit, playing the defensive end a little bit like I used to. And it's amazing. And just, you know, reconnecting with Coach Rumpf has been great, you know, bringing back old memories of Alabama, like conditioning tests and stuff like that. But it's been great so far. Super excited for this defense. And I feel like the sky's the limit because we have so much talent across the board.
We're talking to Dalvin Tomlinson. You know, you've said that you like defensive, or Donatell, I should say, has said that he likes defensive linemen who can occupy blockers. I know you're not going to be happy just to do that. You're looking to improve your pass rushing presence as well. So what have you been doing to take that step this offseason?
I would have to say probably the biggest thing is just leaning out. Just so I could, you know, play for longer, play faster, and play multiple, like a little bit more positions out there on the field and just contribute more to the team. And, yeah, you know, up front, we always are the guys taking up a lot of blocks and stuff like that too. So, you know, it's like it's a good mixture.
So what's your approach to that? Is it nutrition? Is it weight room? Is it some other form of working out? How are you leaning out, and how's that gone?
I feel like it's a combination of nutrition, weight room, more cardio implemented into the workouts. And it's been great. Now I've been enjoying it, feeling a lot more energetic, and it's going good.
And let me guess, dude, you're also sleeping better too, which is really important. Am I right?
Always. That's the number one thing right there.
Dalvin Tomlinson joining us. Now, you're hosting a football camp back in your hometown July 9th. I'll ask you about that in a minute. But what I want to ask you about is what life was like there. You, your brother, your mom, your aunt, your grandmother all lived in the house that your grandparents built. Your cousin and his family lived up a little bit just down the street. Another cousin and his family lived a little further up the street. So what was that street like, and what was life like for you growing up?
It was fun, to say the least. Just growing up with all my cousins and stuff, just playing pickup football in the backyard and stuff like that. But it was fun to be around a lot of family and super family oriented. We all live so close together, and it was amazing. Just a great family atmosphere across the board.
Dalvin Tomlinson's my guest. Now, you and I have talked in the past also about your high school wrestling career. You made the point that you've been through 5 years of Nick Saban practices, but nothing compares to the, quote, 42 minutes of hell in Henry County High's wrestling room. How would you describe that experience? What were those 42 minutes of hell like?
It was probably the toughest condition I've ever done. Coach Marty Hustle and Coach Doug Hustle, the two brothers, we always say back in Heron County, like, you were hustle trained. And if you're hustle trained, you're going to be mentally tougher than everybody else, because we didn't have the easiest wrestling practices. So everybody else on the team was super mentally tough.
I mean, I'm curious, like, how were you able to push your mind and your body through those sessions? And, like, what did you learn in that process?
It's one of those things, when you feel like you have a limit or a wall, it teaches you how to break through that wall and just continue to grow as an athlete across the board, and just never set one limit on yourself, because you could do more than you always think you're capable of.
Does that carry through till this day? Like, if you're in a workout right now, or you're late in a game, even in the NFL, can you kind of draw on that experience from back in that day? Does it stay with you that long?
Most definitely, because that's in the late game, like now in the fourth quarter, that's when it kicks in the most, because when we're both tired, maybe in overtime or something like that, I know I could push a little bit deeper and a little bit harder than you. So I'm just going to pretty much go back to that same training, the same mindset, and just continue to grind a little bit harder in the weight room and stuff like that. So when the game comes, I'm already ready for it.
I think there's a lesson in that for all of us. Dalvin Tomlinson joining us. I think, as some people know, your father, Willie, passed away when you were just 5. The summer before your senior year of high school, your mom, Melinda, passed away. I want to touch on the work that you do with grieving kids in a moment, but how would you describe your mom? What was she like as a person, and what kind of an impact did she have on you?
I would say she was the greatest person to ever walk this earth. A loving person. She'll take the shirt off her back, depending on anyone else's. Just super giving person, always smiling, always happy. And I would have to just say she was a great person across the board and put others before herself.
Dalvin Tomlinson is joining us. So you've been recognized for your work with helping grieving children and teenagers. What is that work like for you, and what are those conversations like?
That work means a lot to me, simply because as a kid or a teenager, the biggest question you'll probably ask is, why me? Why is this happening to me? And just being able to talk to these kids and grieving young people and let them know that, you know, I've been through the same thing, and I'm a successful person and everything, and I know it's hard, but you have to continue to push the way your loved one who passed away would want you to. And it just means a lot, because you never know who you can affect. Those simple conversations could change the course of one's whole life, and those small conversations are the ones that means the most, because you never know who's going through pain, who you can relate to just by having a simple conversation.
I think that's beautiful. I think you're right. You never know who you might reach and what one statement or what conversation can mean to somebody for not just that moment, but for the rest of their life. Dalvin Tomlinson joining us. So you're going to go back home on July 9th and host a free youth football camp. What are the details, and what are you hoping the kids will learn from that camp?
We're going to have middle schoolers and high schoolers out. That's pretty much the age group. And I'm just give back to the community, help some of the younger kids come out there, learn some more football drills. And I'm pretty much like bringing back players I played with in high school, and then the coaches who coached me in high school and things like that. Just almost like a reunion type feel. Like, these are the coaches that helped me get to the next level and pushed me to work harder in the weight room. And I'm from down the street from where you were from. Like, we're from the same exact area, and anything is possible when you put your mind to it. So I have my best friend, Jonathan Jean Bart. He's going to be like the guy running the camp. And he played a running back at Georgia State. and we've been best friends since fourth grade. So it's just like whatever you put your mind to, you can accomplish it. And also just to give back to the community, just to give out to the kids. You know, with COVID and everything over the last couple of years, you know, we had to postpone and cancel everything. So everything finally worked out, and we can actually get it going this year. So I'm super excited for it.
All right. So, again, another great message. Before I let you go, I'm really curious. Like, you and I could talk about your time at Alabama, and you probably have a million stories and a million great experiences. What about high school football? Like, what happens when you come together with some of the guys that you played with in high school, and what kind of memories do you have about playing high school football?
Oh, yeah. Those memories, I feel like those are probably the best because it's way less pressure on the game. You just go out there to have fun with your friends. And most of the guys I play high school football with, we've known each other since elementary school. So it's just like we all grew up together. And even some guys we met in high school, they moved to Heron County. And we're still like close friends to this very day. And I just called them up like yesterday. I just talked to one of my best friends, Michael Gibson. And he used to go to the school down the street, and then he moved to Heron County. And just for us to connect and talk about those old stories and just the people you connect with on that team, it's like it's a whole different meeting because that's when you really start to learn, for the most part, that you relate to so many people, different walks of life.
The formative years, they are the best times. He is hosting the Dalvin Tomlinson Youth Football Camp. It's in McDonough, Georgia. It's on July 9th. He's a member of the Vikings now. He was a national champion at Alabama. Dalvin Tomlinson, my guest. Dalvin, great to have you back. Good luck with the camp, and I know you and I will do it again soon. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, then. I've got Dana White coming up momentarily. Really quickly before I go to break, Mark in Boston is back for more. He writes, I love that you replayed Caleb's Deck-a-Moo and then played a live Deck-a-Moo from all the Chunkies celebrating at the Lorelei.
The old man, I'm afraid.
Hey, Mark, I mean, your bleep is awesome. I just wish I'd heard some of it on Friday. Dude, like, I know you have this in you. Where was it on Friday? Yeah, I know. Your power went out. It's all right, bro. Keep bringing it. It's making me laugh. What else do we have here? DJ John B. writes, I absolutely love the recap of hashtag SmackOff here on Monday. What happens to us clones sometimes is we get distracted and we don't hear the whole show. So I'm glad you were here today, Rome. It helps me to understand hashtag SmackOff better. That's why I always say, set it up, dude, so you don't get distracted. Set it up on that Friday, or set it up prior to that Friday so you do not get distracted. But I'm glad that I'm here the show after the show to help clear things up for you. Joel Harms, this is so sweet to have in the day after the hashtag smack. It's not hashtag smack. It's hashtag smack off, Joel. Joel, you of all people should know. Come on, man.
Come on.
What? It's so sweet to have this the day after the hashtag off. This is so cool to have the day after the hashtag SmackDown. Come on, man. This is so sweet to have the day after the hashtag smack. It's fun to relive it with the host the day later and hear the clones. I hope this becomes the norm because it improves the entire SmackOff experience and its reach. All right, Joel, listen. When you say, I hope this becomes the norm because it improves the entire SmackOff experience and the reach, you are 100% correct. Personally, I hope this does not become the norm. I like walking off as soon as it's over. But I can't deny it. You're right. It does make it better. It definitely makes it better. If I'm doing what's best for the show and the brand, it absolutely makes it better. Brad in Ann Arbor has a good point. Caleb is officially the Philip Rivers of the jungle. He talks mad smack without swearing or having to use personal appearance smack.
That's horse smack.
Hashtag smack off. Good point. This guy's got a good point. Lefty in KC. Vic has somehow gained 6 or 7 mph on his heater. I don't know. Like, Vic back in the day was like Bob Feller back in the day. Extremely angry and could run it up there 100 miles per hour. Like, you have to understand Vic. Vic at his most vicious. Now, what I'm saying, if I compare this Vic to that Vic, it's pretty damn close. I'm just saying, when he was at his fiercest, He could break 100 in velo. So I don't think he has gained 6 or 7. But I would certainly say this. He has not lost 6 or 7 from his fastest velo. And then one more. Hey, Jim Rome. Hello, Jim Rome. I afraid he won the smack off in my book. Unreal old school caller showing all these young heads that the fundamentals and not gimmicks are still the only way to get the job done. Be honest, Jim. If you could go back and flip the number one and number two spots, you would. JT in Carlsbad. Hey, JT, you know what? I will be honest. You know what? I will be honest. JT, if I thought he won, I would have given it to him. What's this guy telling me? You know it, Jim. You know if you could, you would. No, I wouldn't. If I thought he won, I would have named him the winner that day, dude. He was awesome. I'm afraid he was incredible. But no, I would not change anything. You know why? I got it right. All right, when we come back, Dana White is scheduled to join us. He's got a big week. That's next. Or maybe not. You know that famous song we had when Dana White went dark in the middle of an interview once? That one. Dana rolled with that. Dana's coming up next. He'll be here. Here's a sports update for you. Here's Rich Ackerman. Welcome back. Great way to close the show. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live. I'm in Southern California. We are joined right now by the UFC president. It is UFC International Fight Week. It's going to run through Sunday. UFC 276 is a big one. Big, big card. Adesanya versus Cannonier Saturday, live from Vegas on pay-per-view, and a lot more than that, too. Dana White is joining me right now. Dana, what's going on? How you living?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good, good, dude. You got Fight Week. You got a massive card on Saturday. You've got the prelims on ABC. You've got the main card on ESPN pay-per-view. So how is your week shaping up?
No, it's awesome. Obviously, the card is outrageous. And we're simulcast on ESPN Plus, ESPN The Network, and ABC leading into ESPN Plus pay-per-view. So it's going to be an awesome week. Obviously, huge for us, huge for the sport, and really big for the fighters.
No, I knew it was going to be a big week. That's why I wanted to get you in on Monday. All right, so why don't we start at the very top of the card. Dana, you've got Israel Adesanya. He is the undefeated middleweight, or is undefeated as a middleweight. He's got the second longest winning streak in UFC middleweight history. You and I have talked about his star power in the past. For those who have not seen him, what makes him so different and so unique?
Yeah, well, what I love about this kid is obviously he's incredibly talented, but he loves to fight. He wants to keep fighting. He doesn't like to take much time off, and he wants to fight everybody. And if you're a fight fan, you love guys like that.
Not only that, but I want to say something about him, Dana. Give me a minute to lay this quote out, but he was on a podcast recently talking about the fifth round of his win over Kelvin Gastelum. And that was back at UFC 236. He said, quote, "If I am prepared to die, I am prepared to kill," but I really meant that in that moment. I signed my life away. I was like, if this is it, if this is how I die, what a glorious death and what a way to go out in front of the whole world in a crazy battle. And I had some negative self-talk in that fight that I had to overcome. I mean, Dana, bottom line, is that really the way that guy is built? Is that really the way that guy, his mind works?
I think that's the way most of these guys that compete in this sport are built. When you're in there, and you could never explain this to somebody that's never fought before, but when you're in an absolute war, a dogfight with another person, I think that a lot of these guys feel close to death. Yeah, I do believe that that's how these guys feel sometimes. I don't know if you just saw the main event on Saturday night, high level stuff, but the same thing. These guys went five rounds, and it was a nonstop war. And yes, I think that's the mentality of most of these guys.
I did too. These guys are different. They're a different breed. They're built differently. They're wired differently. They're just different. Dana White's joining us. UFC 276 is coming up. It's a huge, huge card. So his opponent, Jared Cannonier, packs a lot of power when he lands those shots. I know you've been high on him for a long time.
Yep.
How much has he grown, though, as a fighter overall of late?
A lot. What makes this fight super exciting is obviously both of these guys have the knockout power. Both of their wrestling has been questioned in the past, and Cannonier really focused on that wrestling. And, you know, this should be a fun one, man. This is a really, really good fight.
I think it's going to be a great fight. We're talking to Dana White. So Dana Adesanya was talking about John Jones the other day, and he said in part, quote, go fight Francis, or even, like, I don't know, stop being on TMZ, end of quote. So how close are we to John Jones stepping back into the cage again? Do you have a sense of a time frame and an opponent, anything?
Yeah, John Jones is ready to go. We're just waiting for an opponent. You know, it's either going to be Francis, depending on how long his knee is going to take to recover, or Stipe Miocic.
All right, so Dan, if you had to guess, Jones turns 35 next month. He has not fought in more than 2 years. Any idea how he will look if he does fight again?
It's very interesting because I'm a huge believer in ring rust, but for all the negative things you could say about John Jones and his personal life and things that have happened, he's the best. He's definitely the best of all time.
All right, so we'll see how that plays out. Dana, the co-main event Saturday is Alexander Volkanovski defending his featherweight belt against Max Holloway. It's going to be the third time they have faced off, with Volkanovski winning the first two by decision. What are you expecting in this fight?
I don't, you know, this is a fight that absolutely has to happen. If you look at all the great things that Volkanovski has accomplished, you know, since winning the title, he's got to get this Max Holloway thing off his back. They got to fight one more time. And for Max, obviously, Max, you know, the other fights were so razor thin close. You know, Holloway has to go for this one more time too. So this is a fight that absolutely has to happen with two of the best of all time in that division, and we'll see which way it goes.
All right, so Dana, if Volkanovski wins on Saturday, how strong is his argument as the greatest featherweight of all time?
Pretty strong. Pretty strong.
And then if he does, what do you do with him? Are you open to him moving up for another belt?
That's what he talked about. From what I'm hearing recently, he's been saying he's thinking about moving up to 55. So, you know, you beat Holloway again, you let that guy do whatever he wants to do.
Dana White's joining us. So, Dana, of course, Nate Diaz has been making some noise about wanting to fight Jake Paul. You made the point that he's won one fight in the last 6 years and went on to say that he probably should fight Jake Paul. Nate tweeted, send the release. As you and I have talked about, it's never boring with the Diaz brothers. So how likely is it that we see a fight with Jake Paul and Nate?
Who knows? Listen, he's got one more fight with us. And then, you know, he can go do whatever he wants to do.
Dan, how would that fight go? If that fight went down, how do you think that fight would go?
The Jake Paul fight?
Yes.
I have no idea. I could care less, to be honest with you.
I was going to say, Dana, you don't care, do you?
No, I don't. I do not. But, you know, like I said, at this point in his career, yeah, I get it. I totally get it.
Do you expect him to honor that contract and fight that one last fight with you?
Oh, absolutely. Listen, these guys always go round and round, but two things. The Diaz brothers have always honored their contracts. They always show up. They, you know, they show up and fight.
All right, so one more point about that. My guy, Khamzat Chimaev, tweeted it, Nate, a few weeks back, quote, bitch, you're not ashamed to open your mouth at all. You refuse to fight 10 times, end of quote. Clearly no love lost between these two guys. Dana, did Nate turn down a fight with him? And if so, what was his reason?
Did he turn down a fight with him? I, to be honest with you, right here off the top of my head, this thing has played out back and forth so many different ways. Yes, we tried to make that fight. He wanted the fight and he didn't want the fight. But Nate Diaz did accept the fight with him.
So why did that not go down?
Who knows? Who knows, man? He's going to end up fighting somebody, and it might even be him. It might even be Khamzat. So we'll see how this whole thing plays out.
I was going to say,
that's the problem. All this, you know, BS goes on back and forth on Instagram and social media, and you know what I mean? And that's why I don't play into any of this stuff. And everybody wants to ask me, oh, you know, why did he say this and why is this going on? Listen, if I owe these guys three fights a year. If I wasn't honoring my contract, we'd be paying Nate to not fight. So once we get a fight done with him, we'll get it over. He's either going to, I don't know, stick with us, or he's going to go on and fight somebody else after his UFC career. So who knows how this will play out.
Dana White, my guest. Dana, what's next for Chimaev?
I don't know. We're working on it right now. We don't have a fight for him yet. We're working on it. We're working on a fight for him. We're working on a fight for Diaz. We're working on a fight for Dustin Poirier. I mean, there's nothing but drama over here every day.
And, of course, there's talk about a Conor-Floyd Mayweather rematch. If Conor fights again, Dana,
not
do you expect...
Me. I'm not talking about that.
Yeah, I didn't think. I was going to say that if Conor does fight again, is it going to be in the cage or in a boxing ring?
No, it'll be in the cage. Conor's looking to come back the end of this year, early next year.
You know, you and I have talked about this many times, Danny. You said when a guy's got $100 million in the bank, it kind of changes his will to prepare. Does he have that fire back? Can you see that in his eye? Like, where is he at mentally right now?
Well, when I do talk to Conor, Conor wants to fight. You know, Conor gets all kinds of offers for movie roles and all these other things that he could go and do and make money. And he doesn't want to do any of that. Conor wants to fight.
I was going to say, Dan, I've got about 60. Does he want to fight or does he want to get paid? Which is more important to him right now?
Well, he does both. When he fights, he gets paid. So fighting is what he wants to do.
All right, so it's a huge week. UFC International Fight Week is going to run through Sunday. UFC 276, headlined by Adesanya and Cannonier. Dana White is the UFC president. Dana, thanks so much. Great to have you back.
You too, buddy. Happy 4th.
Happy 4th. Have a great week, Dana. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close, they're convenient, they're known for their guaranteed everyday low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people you know you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. That's your Monday show. I made it in for the show after the show, and I will be here for the show after the show after the show, i.e. tomorrow. See you then. Have a great day. We're out.